lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65 all the stanzas. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 1-4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you. portion of scripture to be read this afternoon can be found in the book of Judges, thereof chapter 7. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Judges 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh and in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be, that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for a multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and, lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned into the host of Israel, and said, arise, For the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabbath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethberah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Bethberah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we do travel upon a short journey to meet thee. And thy servant did speak of traveling, of going from strength to strength, from resting place to resting place, which thou will give upon that journey here below to thy children as they travel upon a narrow way. For thou sayest, Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. And thou knowest the way that we do travel, each one of us personally, whether we are young or whether we are old. And we think there to be a third way, a way of going to church and of praying, folding our hands and closing our eyes, and of profession of thy truth, but no righteousness within our hearts. Show unto us that there is no third way. that there are only two ways, and those ways lead to two ends, and that we may consider for ourselves how we do go through this world. For we are by nature so blind. We are blinded by the devil in paradise, and we continue in that blindness, having no desire for light and for eyes to see. But it is different with thy people. Thy servant did say, for thou art the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Then so often he fell to be in darkness, and there was no light. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. In the life of thy children, O Lord, thou knowest what they stand in need of. And wilt thou show them for the first or by renewal, and what they stand in need of. They do not see it unless thou openest it unto them. But we can read of a woman who was issuing blood and was corrupt and filthy and dying and did but desire to touch the hem of thy garment. O Lord, give eyes to see it and a desire to touch it. And the touching itself, and that it may be experienced that there is virtue in thee, and that virtue goes out of thee to cure the greatest of diseases, the greatest filthiness to wash away, and the greatest guilt to pardon, that we may be cleansed, that we may be renewed, and that we may be brought back again into thy favor and into thy communion. Wilt thou bless thy word this day to that end? Help all those who have needs and cares that try to lay them before thee. That can also be such a difficulty. Then it can be that the heavens do seem to be brass, so that there is no unburdening. Lord, that thou may look on them, and that thou will open the heavens, and wilt thou show that thou art a God that both giveth and heareth and answerest prayer, that men might know that thou livest, and thy great goodness, not only for the difficulties of this life, but for the need of our souls. Remember all and the needy in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the world. For the world suffers under the consequences of our sin, but there is so little sorrow for that sin, so little knowledge of the cause, and so little weeping therefore. But thou dost say, and knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance, that it may be felt on the world over, thy great long-suffering and thy great goodness, that men may bow before thee in truth. Pour thou the love of thee in our hearts, For that will bring sorrow. That will bring weeping. That will bring a returning again. A turning to thy law and to thy testimonies. And wilt thou remember the children and the youth of the congregation in the days wherein all things seem to be as so often as so bright, but thou knowest what life will bring and what they must learn. And it can be in the days of their youth already, and that they begin to see such a darkness, and that they become even so despondent. And wilt thou remember as such also, and bring to thy holy word of truth, and give them to take it with them upon their knees, and to lay it before thee, and to beg of thee that thou would have mercy on their poor soul. Lord, that it may be in the days of childhood and of youth that the tender fear of thy name may live in their hearts, and that they may be kept from much sin, for which they will be sorry. As thy servant did say in his life yet, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. And if not in our life in eternity, ever there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do forgive our sins. Do wash us and cleanse us in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Help thou us this hour. Give us strength. Give us thy Spirit. And wilt thou give us words, matter. And wilt thou feed thy people, thy sheep. Lord, we do not know how to do it, but they are thine, and thou art the great shepherd, and thou can give it unto us as thou gavest it to the disciples. And then they had so little, they had nothing, and thou hadst everything, and through them thou didst distribute, as so that they were all filled, and there was much to spare. Oh, we look and ask, Lord, for this wonder, time and again also this hour. Be among us, feelingly, believingly, forgivingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 110. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you, Judges chapter 7, and thereof verses 13 and 14. Judges 7, verses 13 and 14. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, and that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So far the words of our text. The promise of God to his church. First, what this promise is. Second, faith relying on this promise. And third, the spoil gathered by faith in this promise. The promise of God to his church. First, what this promise is. Second, faith relying on this promise. And third, the spoil gathered by faith in this promise. Gideon's army congregation is reduced to 300 men. Gideon does not object. The church learns more and more to be looking for a wonder in their own life. But Gideon does not know how that the Lord is going to do this wonder that is so hidden for him. Is it all hidden to you also? Is it all so perplexing? Is it all so mysterious? The Lord gives faith fresh work to do. We read that here. The Lord does not give faith in order that it may sit in an easy chair. No, then there is something that Gideon has now to do, and it came to pass this same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. How far is that army of Gideon reduced? It is reduced until it has become a mere instrument. Gideon feels that. The church of the Lord feels that there is no power in Gideon. There is no power in that little army of Gideon, if you may call it an army. And yet it remains an instrument. That is, it is not as if that there is nothing that Gideon has to do with these 300 men. What do you think, young people, children, boys and girls? Do you think that Gideon is afraid? Gideon has, you would say, no one with him. 32,000 men have been taken away from him. And now he is commanded, sure he is promised, but he is now commanded to go forward. We do not read that he trembled. We do not know what lives in his heart. He does not seem to show it. He does not seem to say it. But do you know, who knows what lives in Gideon's heart? That is the Lord himself. We do not read that Gideon asked for another sign. If he trembled, I think he would not dare to do that. And he had already said unto the Lord that I will speak but this once. If thou wilt now show me with that fleece that second time, that dew may be on all the ground and not on that fleece, then I will not open my mouth again. Then I will be so certain. Then I will be so sure. Oh, Gideon, we do not read, he asks again. But the Lord takes the initiative. The Lord is the first one. And the Lord now speaks unto Gideon because the Lord knows what Gideon needs. And the Lord knows what lives in the heart of Gideon. And he knows what lives in your heart too. And he knows what lives in my heart. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Oh, the Lord knows what he needs. Do you know what Gideon needs? He needs strength. Strength of the body? No. No, that he has. But he needs strength in his soul. He needs that strength of faith. Do you need that strength of faith too? Do you know what the disciples said to the Lord? They said, increase our faith. Do you say that too? The Lord knows how to increase faith. The Lord knows how to strengthen faith. And he knows how to do that better than we do. The Lord is now going to strengthen that faith of Gideon so that it is able to go forth against that enemy with 300 men. And the Lord is going to strengthen it in his own way, more above that way with the fleece. Oh, we may certainly ask the Lord if the Lord may confirm it for us, if the Lord may strengthen it for us. But the Lord knows how to do that better than we do. Because the Lord, he is much wiser than we. Thus, the sign that we may ask for in this world, even if it is a sign that has to change the very proceedings of nature, you say, well, that now would be something. You say that, young people? Oh, if the Lord would do this or the Lord would do that, then I would believe. No. No, that is not necessarily enough. And what we think to be enough, that is not enough. But the Lord knows how to do it. Gideon and Purah, they go down to the outside of the camp. It is in the middle of the night, and they see what? They see an enemy. The whole enemy, the Midianites, the Amalekites, we read, and all the children of the east, great host, as grasshoppers, the camels, we read, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. You say, why is it that the Lord sends Gideon at this time down to that host? Then he sees them all. Then you would say that is something that is going to frighten him away from his task. But the Lord makes him view it. The Lord makes, he gives him a sight of it. And then he hears someone talking. It's the middle of the night. Someone is talking, boys and girls. In the middle of the night, they creep closer to that tent. And they begin to listen. Oh, it is just as the Lord has said, that they are going to hear what they are saying in the middle of the night. Do you see that the Lord knows everything? Are you sometimes awake in the middle of the night? Do you know, boys and girls, that the Lord knows where you are? That He knows where you are in the middle of the night? That in the middle of the night you may also go by your bed, and you may bow your knees, and you may tell the Lord all the troubles that live in your heart. Oh, that there in the middle of the night that you may also tell the Lord how good that He is to you, that you may ask the Lord to give you a new heart. Oh, the Lord told Gideon what was going to happen, and it came to pass just the way that the Lord had said. They hear this talking, and they creep up, and they begin to listen. What do they hear? A man is talking to his fellow. He is talking to his friend. He has dreamed a dream. We would call it a nightmare. He has wakened from this dream. He wakens also his friend, and he relates this dream to his friend. Behold, I have dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. Our dreams are often so strange and so foolish. You would say, that is here also. That is a strange dream about a cake of barley bread tumbling into a tent. But that man cannot go back to sleep. And why can't he go back to sleep? Because he feels something about this dream. Oh, he feels that that is not just a foolish dream. That is not just a childish nightmare. No, there is something very significant in this dream. And it makes him very, very fearful. It could be that in the night gone by, in the day gone by, when he had gone to sleep, that he had gone to sleep mocking. It could be that he had gone to sleep laughing. At least he was not afraid. No, there is a host of Midianites. And those Israelites, they are such weak people. And they surely will have the victory once again, as it has been for all of these years. That can change so quick. That we go to bed and we are so confident. And in the middle of the night, we wake and we are trembling. Solomon speaks about fear in the night. Do you ever experience that? Fear in the night. And then you do not know why that you are so afraid. That is the way it was now with this man. He is so afraid, and he wakes his friend, and he tells him his dream. And we read his friend interprets that dream. We read that Gideon heard the dream, and he heard also the interpretation. What does that word mean when it says it here? That word interpretation here means to break something, to crush something. So what does his friend do? He breaks that dream. He breaks it open, as it were. And he reveals what is hidden, that hidden meaning that is lying in this dream. And that this man does not know. Say, how does he do that? How does he break it open? How does he know the interpretation? Well, you say the Lord shows it to him. That is right. The Lord has given this dream. He gives the interpretation of that dream. It is all directed from above. That is true. But it is, congregation, also in a certain way, so very natural to this man, to these Bedouin nomads. They are very proud people. Their tent was everything to them. Their tent was, as it were, a symbol. It was a symbol of their nomadic way of life. But it was also a symbol to themselves of their own greatness, of their own power, of their own liberty. They were tied to nothing. They could go from place to place over this world. And now that bread. Oh, it is so natural that that bread that would represent something to this man, that it would represent something to him of the Israelites. The Israelites, they are cultivators of the soil. And these men and that way of life that is despised by these nomads. They look down upon these poor cultivators of the soil. Thus that is in the first place, but there is more. Because we read that it is a barley cake. And barley, we know, that is that grain that is of the that belongs to the poorest class of the land. That is, all that they could afford was barley. So that barley was a symbol of their poverty. It was a symbol of the lowliness of the children of Israel. And then it is called a barley cake. Thus, it is at the same time so very, very small. It is at the same time so very, very insignificant. And what does it do? It upsets a very large tent. A tent which is in the minds of the Bedouin people a symbol of greatness. A symbol of strength, a symbol of power. And then there is just this little barley cake. Such a fancy that often belongs just to dreams. But this man, he feels that this is not just a meaningless thing. It is more than a foolish dream. And indeed, so his friend interprets it. He breaks it open. He lays bare that hidden meaning. Why? Because outside of that tent, there are two men, Gideon and Purah. They are quiet. They do not know they are there, but they are listening. They are listening. And those two men inside a tent have now revealed the spirit that is in the heart of these Midianites. These Midianites, they are terrified. They are terrified by whom? By a great army of Israel? No. No, it is to them as a barley cake. But they are terrified by the Lord himself. The Lord, he has in his own way brought tidings. Tidings unto this great host of Midian. Tidings of the name of Gideon. Tidings of the mighty God, the Jehovah of the children of Israel. They have heard these things. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his host. By Moses, the Lord had said long time ago already, this day will I begin to bring the dread of you. I will begin to bring the fear of you upon all those nations wherein you shall dwell. We can read of Rahab. Then she speaks also unto those spies. Oh, she says, your terror is fallen upon us. Oh, that mighty enemy that is so strong against the people of the Lord. But the Lord terrifies them. And we know that men that are afraid are not able to fight well. And now the Lord reveals to Gideon how he is going to defeat this enemy. You know how he is going to defeat that enemy? The Lord is going to defeat that enemy just like a little barley cake that is tumbling into that host of Midian, into a Bedouin tent. And we read that that little barley cake completely destroys that tent. And it smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. There is nothing left of it. It is uninhabitable. Congregation, that is a dream. That is a dream that to show how that the Lord will deliver his own church, will deliver his own people by the means of something that is very small, that is very despicable in the eyes of men, in the eyes of the whole world. Christ himself. Christ himself was willing to become so when he humbled himself and when he came into the flesh, when he came into this world, subject to all the consequences of sin that you and I have brought into this world. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. And with all that mocking, and with all that ridiculing, we read that he did not open his mouth. But they said to him, who makest thou thyself? To think that thou thyself art God. Isaiah says he was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. That was a man. He came to be a man. He took upon him the nature of a man. He came in the poverty wherein we had brought ourselves. Then he multiplied bread, yes. What kind of bread was that? That he ate with his disciples. There is a lad here. Or it is barley bread, barley loaves. Those loaves that belonged unto the poorest of the land. Of the children of Israel. Oh, how insignificant he seemed to be. Over against all the established church, we would say, the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the scribes, there is a multitude of them. Oh, they are the children of Abraham. Then there are the Romans. Oh, and then how insignificant Christ and his 12 disciples. But now the promise of the Lord. Oh, it is by this little barley cake, this very small barley cake, over against all the enemies of the church of God, that the Lord is going to destroy. He's going to destroy the enemies of the Lord, and he's going to destroy the enemies of the Lord's people. That entire army that is set against the kingdom of God, that entire army that is set against the poor people of the Lord. And we can read that already in his prophetic office, how he has time and again but the Pharisees, the Sadducees, to silence. And so with all his wisdom, they were not able to answer him a word, though he was so despised. But we see that especially in that priestly office, and when he was willing to be hung upon that cursed tree, and when he offered himself a sacrifice unto God, oh, it is despised. The world says, oh, people, how can you have such a king? One who is not on the throne, no. One who humbles himself so deeply. The one who goes under mockery and scorn, even unto death. You want such a king, you can have your king. Oh, that little barley cake that was going to destroy, was going to crush the head of the serpent, was going to destroy all of his power. And now he is seated on that right hand of God. Oh, he continues that work, the destruction. Oh, then it seems like the devil and the devil's kingdom that just continues to increase, but it is not so. Oh, the Lord, he is watching over this. And every step of the way, the Lord has in his hands. It is all under that divine providence. And the Lord is working, working all things for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is nothing else than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. A man of Israel. Thus it is that entire people of the Lord that is despised by these enemies. Like a barley cake. Oh, they come with their camels. They are there with their power. As the sand by the seashore in multitude. Oh, they are mocking. Satan is mocking. There they stand, O sin, that can appear congregation so mighty and so overwhelming in the life of God's people. Not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. Oh, then they think they have enough power. Do you have power to conquer it? Or is there not yet even a desire? Has that desire to do away with sin? Has that been born in your heart? Because that is born in the day of regeneration. And then we think we have a certain power. Why? Because we do not realize the power of that sin. No, we have seen so little of it already. And we have not yet fought against it. We have not come head to head with it. Man to man, sword to sword. And then we think that we can overcome it. But how does it go in the life of that people? Or if it is the Lord's work, then it does not go well from their side. Why? Because they have to experience how strong that enemy is. They have to experience how weak that they are. They have to experience the depth of their fall, that they are of themselves dead in sins and in trespasses, and that there is nothing in me that desires to go after the Lord, but everything in me that is cleaving unto sin, unto vanity, unto carnality. That is what they have to experience. All righteousness, holiness. If only I could attain unto righteousness. Unto holiness. That is the grief. That is the sorrow that is born, that they may begin received into the blessed favor of the Lord. And what is the greatest fear of the people? They shall never attain it. They shall never attain it. But that in the end, sin is going to overcome. And that they shall never have the victory. And the longer that they fight, the more they see the greatness of that enemy, the more they feel the power of that enemy, the more they feel their weakness, the more they feel their insignificance, so that they have to despair of themselves, and when they may now despair. You ever come there? To that despair? What does it mean? When we despair of ever coming to that height that the Lord requires of us. Oh, then you say that I am outside of it. And then it is ill with me forever and forever. But it is now when a man may despair of himself that there is hope. That there is hope. Why? Because of the promise of the Lord. But let us sing first. Psalter 193, 1, 2, 3, and 6. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1, 2, and 3, and 6 of Psalter 193. promise of God to his church. First, what this promise is. Second, faith relying on this promise. What is now the promise of the Lord to Gideon? That he is going to overcome the enemy, even as a barley cake tumbles into that host of Midian. And now, congregation, Gideon is so helped. He is so helped by this dream. Why? Well, in the first place, he discerns, of course, the hand of the Lord in it. Because the Lord has told him what was going to happen, and everything happened just according to the way that the Lord had said. But now there is more. He is helped so much by the contents of this dream. It is the contents of the promise of the Lord unto Gideon and unto all of the Israelites. Because the Lord reveals now to Gideon how that he is going to deliver them. Thus, Gideon may see it. Gideon may now see that the deliverance of the Lord is a wonder. It is a wonder that is not by the strength of a man, but it is a wonder that is coming from the Lord himself. Did the Lord ever show you that wonder? Oh, Gideon, he is now called to rely on that promise. He is now called to trust in that promise. Just the same way that all of God's poor people, they are also called to trust in that promise of the Lord. To trust in His Son. To trust in Christ. Oh, you say, that is now just the difficulty. I cannot do that. Oh, then there are some that seem always able to do that. But for me, that is such an impossibility. Gideon was no different. The Lord knew that. And now it is the Lord who comes to the help of Gideon. It is the Lord who comes to give the strength of that faith that he may trust, that he may rely, that he may depend only upon that promise of the Lord. How does the Lord do that? Oh, he includes Gideon in that promise. That is how the Lord does it. Listen. That interpreter, what does he say? He says, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. This is nothing else. What is nothing else? Well, that cake of barley bread. That cake of barley bread. Thus, that interpreter calls Gideon a cake of barley bread. How would you like that, children? How would you like to be called a cake of barley bread? Especially when that cake of barley bread represented nothing but weakness and was despised by those who stood in their strength, in their carnal strength, then it is, as it were, mockery. And what does Gideon do? He concurs with it. He concurs with it. Oh, Gideon, for Gideon, it is such a wonder that he is called here a cake of barley bread. Why? Because that is exactly how Gideon feels himself to be. Nothing. He feels his weakness. He feels his insignificance. Or he feels as nothing against that great enemy against whom that he is sent. Do you see how that dream that is touching Gideon to the core of his soul? Oh, Gideon is included in that, along with all the true people of the Lord. That cake of barley bread, that is what they are. That is what they feel themselves to be. Every one of that true Israel, and Gideon amongst them. Oh, that is a dream that is divinely given, and Gideon feels it. Oh, he knows in this moment that the Lord knows where he is. He knows in this moment that the Lord knows who he is. Oh, he knows that the Lord knows everything about him and all the trembling that is in his heart that is known by the Lord. The Lord shows it to him so plainly. Oh, that is now the way. That is the way the Lord is including his people, his poor, despised people, in his promise. Oh, the Lord is giving that people to hear their name in that promise. Oh, the Lord is giving his people to identify with what he calls them. He gives them to concur with all the wretchedness and with all the poverty, with all the wickedness that lives in their heart, the iniquity, all the weakness, all the impossibility. And then the people have to say, yes, Lord, that is what I am. Thou knowest everything. I am nothing but a dog. All that is the way the Lord is including his whole church in that promise. And now Gideon, when he hears that is now what it is, that is now to whom it is. Oh, Gideon is so strengthened more than by that sign that he could ask for by himself. Oh, the Lord is so wise. He knows all that is living in the hearts of... He has worked it. He has put it in their hearts. And he is leading his people. And oh, Gideon is so strengthened now in that promise, both for himself, but also for all that poor people of the children of Israel, despised among all the nations of the world, but loved and cared for by the Lord himself. Oh, Gideon feels it when these enemies of the Lord themselves, it is coming out of their own mouth, how the Lord is going to take care of his people, even though they have sinned against the Lord and they have left the Lord days without number, serving all of their idols. But the Lord, Jehovah God, he is going to take care of his people. Oh, he is so strengthened now. And what do we read when Gideon heard that telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof? He worshipped. He worshipped. That is now what the Lord does. That is where the Lord is bringing his people. Oh, Lord, thou art so good unto a people who have sinned against thee. And then there is only one thing that is left for the people. That is to bow their knees. Don't read that he left. He is still sitting by that tent. And he is bowing his knees. And he is worshiping the God of heaven. Oh, that whole enemy that is standing before him is not conquered yet. He is not conquered yet. But it is still lying in the promise. And there is now such a hope. There is such an expectation that is living in that heart of Gideon. And we read that Gideon returns unto that host It is 300 men. It is called a host. It is the host of the Lord indeed. And he returns to that host. And what does he say? He says, arise. Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Oh, he is so full of faith. And now may he may encourage that poor people of the Lord. Oh, that is such a blessed thing in that true church of God when there may be a little faith worked by the Spirit of the Lord against all the enemies of the Lord and of his people, against that sin that is so strong, that is so mighty in the life of that people. But then there are those that sometimes may come and that they may encourage that people who are in the strife, who are in that strife, and who cannot see how that the Lord can ever overcome that enemy of sin. But that enemy shall never have dominion over the people of the Lord. Never. Oh, sin, the word of God says, that shall never have dominion over you. And why not? Because you are not under the law, but under grace. You are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, what a word. That little word, grace. And that can seem so insignificant. And it is despised by nature, congregation. It is despised. We despise it, don't we? We have no need for it from ourselves. But now what does it become unto that people? Grace. You know what that is? That is like that little barley cake. Never saw it maybe yet in your life. Maybe you never saw it yet in your life. But that is like that little barley cake. Despised in your eyes and despised in the eyes of the world, that is overcoming all the enemies of the people of the Lord. Oh, that unimpeachable law of God and the curse of that law that is so mighty coming against that people. The law in all its demands and in all its condemning power. And then it is overturned. It is overturned, completely overturned by that little word, grace. Gideon and his men. Gideon and his men go forth now in full reliance. Isn't that a blessed thing? Faith. No matter how big that enemy is, no matter how strong that enemy seems in their eyes to be, but now in full reliance upon that blessed promise of the Lord. The Lord says that mighty enemy is going to be conquered. What is their weapon? It's not a sword. It's faith. That is their weapon. Faith. They stand there. They do not have to fight. They just stand there. They stand and they blow their trumpets. They crash their vessels against one another, so they are breaking in pieces. Or they are standing there with their lamps, their lanterns. Oh, they are standing there magnifying and glorifying the God of heaven, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That is all they have to do. And what does the Lord do? He does everything. The Lord does the fighting. Oh, it is a mighty enemy. But the Lord, he is fighting against that people. And the Lord discomfits that people. Oh, he sets their swords one against another so that they are killing one another with their swords. Oh, what a great power. The power of the Lord to enter into the heart of a man and to make the enemy itself destroy itself. Power of the Lord to make the wicked flee when no man pursueth, in order that he may care for his people. Oh, why are you so fearful, people of the Lord? Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, and what do those poor, sinful, and weak, impoverished Israelites, what do they now have to do but to take the spoil? But to take the spoil. That is now our third thought. The spoil gathered by faith in that promise of the Lord. Those returning men, the men of Naphtali, of Asher, Manasseh, they are going back now unto their places. And now they are called again. Oh, and messengers are sent. Messengers are sent to Mount Ephraim to take the waters of Bethbara and Jordan. Oh, they have nothing to do except to take now all that the Lord has delivered into their hands. Oh, congregation, the true church, it is a poor church. It is a weak church. It is a sinful church. And now that sin, that is not conquered by their might. No, it is conquered by faith alone. No other way. Gideon and his men, they just had to stand there. To stand there in their place and let the Lord do his work. A mighty work. Oh, they know how mighty it is. They feel the power that is necessary. Oh, that sin, how it condemns. That sin, how that it corrupts. Oh, they have no might against that great company that cometh against them. But now what does that faith experience? It experiences that same thing that happened in this day. When it is being exercised with fears that sin shall one day have dominion over them. But now they may be directed. They may be directed by the Spirit of the Lord unto that Son of Man. That Son of Man, and then that faith may perceive that they do not have to fight in this battle. Not in order to overcome, but it is overcome by the strength of God. That is now what was necessary. Oh, the promise that is now to a people who are compared to a barley cake. Unto a barley cake. Do you concur with that? There is now a people in our midst that may so concur with that. Despised, sinful, wretched, wicked, weak against all that is coming against you, that will prevent you from ever entering into the kingdom of God. And now the deliverer, oh, he was not averse to being compared also to such a barley cake. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Oh, what a spoil now that there is for that church. All the church has to do is now to gather through that spoil. It is all received out of the power of that Son of Man. Oh, faith may sometimes behold it for just a moment, then it may be so strengthened, and then it may speak a little in that house of the Lord. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. All the spoil, sin vanquished, Satan defeated, that enemy routed, and my own poor soul. Oh, the soul of that church that is justified, that soul is sanctified, that soul is reconciled unto that God of heaven. What does Paul say? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. O congregation, the Lord strip us. O the Lord show to us what lives in our heart. The Lord show to us our poverty. The Lord give us to concur, that we also may be among those who are dressed in the promise of the Lord, and that so we may be delivered by him and that he may receive the glory, and we may receive the benefit. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble us under all thy great goodness, and wilt thou bless thy word. O teach us, Lord, lead us in that same way as thou ever leadest all thy people, and magnify thy dear Son and his work and his might and his name and his goodness and his wisdom and his love. Oh, that we might see a little bit of it. Show thyself, Lord, through the lattice, and that our hearts may be drawn for the first or by renewal unto thee, who has done everything for thy poor and afflicted people. Humble us that thou hast helped us through this hour to give us a little strength for our work. Help us in the week to come, each one, with the work of our hands. Oh, strip us, take away all our foundations that we build upon, that we may be given to build upon that solid rock, and that thou may be glorified. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 92, 1, 3, and 8. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be, and thy mighty shield protect my life, and thy spear confront the enemy. 1, 3, and 8 of Psalter 92. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.